Then.
Boy, Sandy Dearborn said. That smell!
He put his hand up to his face but couldn't actually touch his skin because of the plastic breathing cup he was wearing over his mouth and nose, the kind dentists put on before going prospecting. Sandy didn't know how it was on germs, but the mask did nothing to stop the smell. It was that cabbagey aroma, and it choked the air of the storage closet as soon as Kurt opened the stomach of the bat thing.
We'll get used to it, Kurt said, his own breathing cup bobbing up and down on his face.
His and Sandy's were blue. The sergeant's was a rather cute shade of candy pink. Curtis Wilcox was a smart guy, right about a lot of things. But he was wrong about the smell. They didn't get used to it. No one ever did. Sandy couldn't fault Trooper Wilcox's preparation, however. It seemed perfect. Kurt had swung home at the end of his shift and picked up his dissection kit. To this he had added a good microscope, borrowed from a friend at the university, several packets of surgical gloves, and a pair of extremely bright tensor lamps. He told his wife he intended to examine a fox someone had shot behind the barracks.
"You be careful," she said. "They can have rabies."
Kurt promised her he'd glove up, and it was a promise he meant to keep. Meant for all three of them to keep. Because the bat thing might have something a lot worse than rabies, something which remained virulent long after its original host was dead. If Tony Shaindinks and Sandy Dearborn had needed a reminder of this, they probably didn't. They got it when Kurt first closed the door at the foot of the stairs and then bolted it.
"I'm in charge as long as that door's locked," Kurt said.
His voice was flat and absolutely sure of itself. It was mostly Tony he was speaking to because Tony was twice his age, and if anyone was his partner in this, it was the SC. Sandy was just along for the ride and knew it.
"Is that understood and agreed? Because if it isn't, we can stop right in—"
"It's understood," Tony said.
"In here you're the general. Sandy and I are just a couple of buck privates. I have no problem with that. Just for Christ's sake, let's get it over with."
Kurt opened his kit, which was almost the size of an army footlocker. The interior was packed with stainless steel instruments wrapped in chamois. On top of them were the dental masks, each in its own sealed plastic bag.
"You really think these are necessary?" Sandy asked.
Kurt shrugged.
"Better safe than sorry. Not that those things are worth much. We should probably be wearing respirators."
"I sort of wish we had B.B. Roth here," Tony said.
Kurt made no verbal reply to that, but the flash of his eyes suggested that was the last thing in the world he wanted. The Buick belonged to the troop, and anything that came out of it belonged to the troop. Kurt opened the door of the storage closet and went in, pulling the chain that turned on the little room's green shaded hanging lamp. Tony followed. There was a table not much bigger than a grade schooler's desk under the light. Small as the closet was, there was barely room for two, let alone three. That was fine with Sandy. He never stepped over the threshold at all that night.